الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده، والمهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. We just heard from Maulana Musa, Allah reward Maulana Musa, the kitab of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. And in this kitab, Maulana has, by and large, covered the whole of Deen. And every week, Maulana reads a certain portion. And if we follow it, and what is being explained in the kitab, if we try and bring that in our lives, what we have in our lives, we make shukr. What is not there, we make an effort to try and bring it. So we should listen with that. Don't listen to every chapter in isolation. It is to bring the whole of Deen into our lives. So with regard to bringing the whole of Deen into our lives, one very important aspect is discussed in this hadith also. Al-Muslimu, I'll just translate it first. Al-Muslimu man salib al-Muslimun amir lisanihi wa yadi. A Muslim is that person that other Muslims are saved from his tongue and his hand. That is the harm of the tongue and the hand. Wal muhajir, and a muhajir is he, man hajara ma'anaha Allah an, who makes hijrat, gives up those things which Allah Ta'ala has made haram on him. So that is what we should endeavor for. So in this, Allah reward our Shaykh Jazawmullah Khair, who was really a great mufassir also, a great muhaddith also, and the points that he had pointed out were so important and so delicate. Normally in the kitabs when we read, we just read it and the translation, the explanation we get. But Hazrat explained it such a way that the great importance of it dawned on a person. In fact, all khankas, it come to be known for a certain particular point. So Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali used to say that a person who wants to become a Sufi, he should go to some other khanka. But a person who wants to become a human being should come to my khanka. Hazrat should make effort on that. And one of the main points in Hazrat's khanka was that nobody should get takleef, should be inconvenience in any way by somebody else. So that is what is the essence of this hadith, that we should not be inconveniencing anyone in any way. We should think everywhere and all the time we are in connection with people, even if it's husband and wife. The husband must not inconvenience his wife. Don't take advantage, don't take her for granted. The same way the wife for the husband. Parents with children, children with parents, everywhere sharing a common bathroom, toilet. Don't inconvenience anyone. So that is what it is. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained that when learning hadith also, see from who you learn hadith. Because according to this hadith here, if we just see, and a person has just got the outward knowledge of deen, then he will make a wrong interpretation of the hadith. Because the hadith says, al-Muslim, that is a Muslim. Man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadihi. That other Muslims are not inconvenienced by his tongue or by his hand. So what does that mean? That a person who inconveniences somebody, that person is not a Muslim. Whereas that is not correct. And for to understand Quran and hadith, you can never take any ayat or hadith in isolation. You have to see the whole of deen. So when the ulama, the righteous ulama, they study the whole of deen, they see that if you do inconvenience anyone, doesn't mean that your Islam is negated, that you're not a Muslim. What it means really is kamali Islam, the perfection of your Islam. And that is what we are here for, our Islam, to try and perfect ourselves. Alhamdulillah, we are all Muslims, billions or 2 billion Muslims in the world, approximately according to statistics, Allah knows best. So they are all Muslims, but that Muslim who is a real Muslim, who has reached perfection, in other words, who has made his Islam, is he who does not inconvenience anyone. In any way, he doesn't convenience anyone. Yeah, particular reference is made by lisanihi wa yadihi, not by his tongue nor by his hand. So by his tongue, a person can inconvenience somebody by lying about him, backbiting about him, fighting, quarreling, lot of things. Allama Aini, Allama Badruddin Aini, rahmatullah alayh, quotes yeah an ishkal, an objection, that yeah, the tongue is referred to, and there's not references made what the tongue says. So the tongue directly, does that cause inconvenience to a person? So he gives the answer also, and he says little children especially, when they want to annoy somebody, they take out their tongue and they wag the tongue in front of that person. And then they'll run away or something. Sometimes big people also do that. So that is, so by that way, the wording of the hadith is such that it comprises that also. That is also included. So such is the kamal of the words of Nabuwat, everything. But basically it is all what is spoken with the tongue. And the tongue, like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah Ali says, jismuhu saghir, his body is very small, just a few grams, a few centimeters long, walakin jurmuhu kabir, the sin of the tongue is very big. So a person has to learn, ya ayyuhalladhina aminu taqullah wa qulu qawlan sadida. A person has to learn how to speak also correctly. That is very, very important, the usage of the tongue. And usually, during the day, how much don't we speak? Blabbering, talking all the time, how much don't we speak? There were those buzurgs who noted down everything they wrote. We can't even think of doing that, because we are talking so much. And then at night, they should check that how much was necessary of that to have been spoken, and how much was not necessary. One buzurg went and visited his friend, and they told him that his friend is sleeping. So he says, is this the time to sleep? But he noted it afterwards, he reprimanded himself. What right you had to say? What you know, what was his condition? Whether he was ill or what? How his night passed? Why he was sleeping at that time when normally people are not sleeping? So the usage of the tongue is very, very important, that we don't inconvenience anyone with the usage of our tongue. That is one aspect that we have to make an effort also. As mashallah, we heard in the Ash'ar that how to stay away from guna, from all types of guna, how to stay away. But this doesn't come in our mind, that we cause inconvenience to any person. And that is also part of guna, when we inconvenience anyone. And all of us, we should try to be conscious that what I say, what I do, how I behave, am I not inconveniencing any person? That is a very, very important aspect. So the perfect Muslim, and that is what we should try to strive for. And that is what is called our Islah, to try and make our Islah, that we don't inconvenience any person in any way whatsoever. So, neither by our tongue nor by our hand. And yeah, also one objection is raised, that why didn't Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam refer to the legs? That your tongue and hands are spoken about, but by legs you kick somebody. So the answer to that is given, that normally it is the tongue when fighting, argument, you become upset with somebody. Then normally you speak first and then you use your hands and you start hitting the person or whatever. A parent who gets angry on a child, an ustad who gets upset with the student, usually verbal communication. And after that is the hand. And therefore, ulama have written that first in the hadith is mentioned, lisanihi and then yadihi. If you don't find that somebody is fighting with somebody and he didn't speak a word, he just came and he just started hitting, and then usually the build up is with words first. You did this, you said that, whatever the thing is. And afterwards the hand normally is used. Not the leg is, you know, maybe perhaps afterwards, but normally the hand is used. So first reference is made in the hadith with your tongue. That control your tongue. So if you control your tongue, then you won't use your hand. The mawqa, the opportunity of using the hand won't come also. So control the tongue. So and this tongue, Allahu Akbar. Ulama have explained that Allah Ta'ala has kept the tongue between two jaws. And on the jaws, all the teeth that are there. In other words, and sometimes it happens when we bite our tongue. And we feel the pain, how much it pains when you bite your tongue. So your tongue, Allah put it between the police force also. Like police also, they got all different departments of control. Riots is a separate force to control some other. Crowd control is another police force. So this Allah Ta'ala has put the teeth to control the tongue. And there are all types of teeth. The front teeth, which are sharp. The back teeth, which are more broad and to grind things. So all types of teeth Allah Ta'ala kept to control. And the jaws is sometimes when the police is not sufficient to control a situation, the army is called in. So the army also Allah Ta'ala has put. Allah put the police also and put the army also to control the tongue. So how important is that? And in this hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us this very, very important matter of how to control the tongue. That we shouldn't just use our tongue as we want to. One Hindu told Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Hafsab Rahmatullah Ali that in this hadith is referred to Al-Muslimu Man Salim Al-Muslimuna Min Lisani Wa Yadihi. A Muslim true, real quality Muslim is he that other Muslims do not suffer any injury, any inconvenience from his hand or his tongue. So according to the hadith, he said it looks like it's permissible that they can cause inconvenience to Hindus, to non-Muslims. They mustn't cause inconvenience to Muslims. So it appears that it is. So there also it is necessary that we learn hadith from a reliable ustad. And then we can get the proper understanding and the meaning. Otherwise we will get the wrong meaning of it. Like on one occasion, in the majlis of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, a young person asked a question and he said that I've got a lot of lust and desire, so which makes me commit guna, so what should I do? So one person, he was an Ahli Hadith, he was a newcomer to the gathering, he didn't know the rules. In Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali's majlis, nobody else was allowed to speak, only Maulana spoke. But he spoke out immediately, he gave the answer. He said, you should keep roza. So he said, when I keep roza, my desire becomes even more. So now he didn't have an answer. So Maulana said, answer now. Now you haven't got an answer. Now you put all in doubt that you must keep, which comes in the hadith, that when your lust is a lot, then break your lust with roza. So then Maulana explained, and the explanation of that hadith is that you must keep in kasrat roza. Not just one, two rozas, or just a few dirty rozas, but plenty. Then your lust will be broken. Right? Then that breaks your lust. So to have that understanding is very important. So yeah, he asked that in this hadith it appears that they can cause injury to non-Muslims, Hindus, whoever. So Hazrat said, no, that's not the case. The meaning of it is that because Muslims normally will live with Muslims, your interaction is with Muslims. Our Shaykh Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali explains that like two utensils which are together in one dish, and you lift up the dish and the two utensils, when shaking, they hit against one as noise comes. But the utensil which is far away, there is no noise, there is no possibility. So friction is caused with who you are commonly with. And Muslims will be commonly, all people will be commonly with their own people. So therefore this has been stressed. With other people, even more you should take precaution. Except at the time of jihad. And jihad also is not just that you go out and start killing or fighting, but there are so many instructions which are given for jihad also, with who you must wage jihad, who you must not wage jihad with. Lot of instructions are given. But generally, with non-Muslims we mix less, so therefore this doesn't refer to them. It refers to Muslim people. And in that we can understand who you have close contact with, your own family people. That is more than the people who you are with at work, etc. There it refers to. Who you associate with regard to them, it refers to them. So we should be very, very careful that we don't cause any injury, any inconvenience, any harm to anyone else. We must try and be conscious of that all the time. And in this year, it is by extension that don't cause any inconvenience to any person, and it comes in the hadith, don't cause inconvenience to even any animal, even an ant, or even a cat, or anything else. Don't cause inconvenience. So a Muslim is he who will take care of all those things. In the Islamic Khilafat, there were those times, Allahu Akbar, when they had made so much effort on deen that even the birds, they make sure they also don't have any inconvenience. Even for birds, food for birds also was supplied. For everyone, there was a surplus, for example, in the state treasury. Give it to the widows. All the widows have got enough. Give it to the people who are handicapped. They all got enough. Everyone. Then give it to the birds so that the birds can also have enough. This is when Islam comes alive in our lives. Then Allah Ta'ala gives barakat like that. But today, with all, so much of everything, but everyone is still in need. Nobody is satisfied with what he has got. So everyone wants more and more all the time. So we should see that we don't cause any inconvenience to any other person. And we don't harm any person whatsoever in all aspects, even the birds, etc. also. Then so much so, the environment also. Don't cause harm and inconvenience to the environment also. It comes clearly in the hadith. Like don't, for example, defecate, relieve yourself under a tree where people sit usually for the shade of the tree. It's not permissible to defecate there. Now you're going to cause inconvenience there to the environment. Or in the water, don't defecate in the water, because there also there is life in the water, and you, with you and other people will also be, inconvenience will be caused to them also. So that also a person should be very much considerate. Everything, for example, though it's a law also, that the car, it must not be burning oil, the exhaust fumes, because those fumes cause inconvenience to people. So a person on his own should be see that his car is in a roadworthy condition, that it doesn't cause fumes, etc. And driving on the road also, don't cause inconvenience. Road rage is a major thing, and that comes, of course, because of the temper of a person, and temper comes because of the pride of a person. But even so, many people on the road, just because somebody, he miscalculated and he just came out in front of you or something, and you start getting angry, and we know what and what happens on the road after that. The fights that take place, etc. And sometimes it leads to other bigger things also. So here in this hadith we are taught all these things, they are cut in the bud. They don't let these things grow and don't let them become more. So all these things a person should be very, very careful about and thinking. The choice of words, what words we should use. Sometimes just because a person uses wrong words, he causes inconvenience to people. So a person should think. A person can't be perfect all the time, but we should think, that especially with whom we are more intimate. And in most cases, that is with the spouse. We are most intimate mostly with the spouse. So with there, we should be even more careful. But generally, it happens that there we are less careful. We just take things for granted, and we just speak anyhow. But there we should be very, very careful. And in that hadith that I was speaking about, that the words of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, that the tongue, the body of it is small, but the sin of it is very big. Explanation of that ulama give, like for example, a couple of friends or anyone, they had arguments, fights, they studied, spoke, they made up for everything. When everything was now sorted out, you went and say one word and you brought and you lit fire. And you cause the thing again to flare up. And because of that, the fight starts again. That one word of yours, it comes in the hadith, a person doesn't think about it, but he doesn't realize to which depths of Jahannam it takes him. Sometimes we just say some word somewhere, and we cause fights between people, and we cause disunity amongst people because of that one word that we spoke. So a person should be very, very careful what he speaks. On the other hand, perhaps people were fighting, and you went and you said one word, and by that, they became friends again. On one occasion, the Aus and the Khazraj, which were the two tribes of Medina Sharif, the Muslim tribes, who accepted Islam. But one Yehudi Jew, who was burnt out, to see that these two tribes who were fighting one another whole lives, today they living as brothers with one another. They embrace one another, they're happy, he couldn't. So he started saying some poetry, reminding of the old fights they used to have. And in there he brought them, where they pulled out their swords, and they were about to fight. Somebody informed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam of it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam immediately went there. And reminded them that, see, you people were fighting with one another, but by the barakat of Islam, Allah Ta'ala brought you and made you brothers of one another. So that one few words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam completely settled the fire. And here also, ulama have explained a beautiful point. When there is an argument, when people are fighting, arguing, etc., don't add fuel to the fire. That won't put the fire off. So don't put anything that will cause the fire to burn more. Put water there to put the fire off. Sometimes we don't realize, but we go and say things at that time that we are adding fuel. And then with adding the fuel to the fire, cannot put the fire off. It will let it burn even more. We should be at that time, be seeing that we put water on the. For such words we say, such actions, such things we do, so that we can put the fire off. So anyway, in this hadith we are taught a very, very great lesson, that we should not cause any injury to any person, and then not to any our own people, Muslims, not to any non-Muslim also. Don't go out and just cause harm in anything, because he's a non-Muslim, whoever it might be. Whether it is normally on the road, or when we're in the car, or anywhere. Or the person who is sahibul jam, this person who is next to you, which is your spouse in most cases. But even when we are traveling, like by bus, by aeroplane, and another stranger is next to you, don't spread your feet in such a way. Or don't do anything else. There are many people, non-Muslims, they drink alcohol, and they spill the alcohol on the passenger next to them, etc., or anything like that, as far as possible. And also very important, when we are using public transport, normally the aeroplane, when we use the toilet, be very careful that we don't leave it in such a way that causes inconvenience to anyone else. Especially if we make wuzu in the toilet and the water splashes, then be very careful. So a Muslim must not cause any inconvenience to any person. not to any animals also, not to the environment also, to no one we should cause any in any way, not only with the hand and the tongue, but in any way whatsoever. Of course, this is not an easy thing, but this is what we should work towards. And we should be conscious of it. Otherwise, normally we are not conscious of it. We don't even think about it. We might think about outward gunas, gunas of lust, etc. Today, wasting of time on the phone, whether it is on games or whether it is on some sports, and sometimes even worse things, haram things, etc., whatever, that we perhaps we feel guilty about. But we don't really feel guilty, and also the usage of the phone, which has become very, very common. It was a common saying that to read in company is bad manners. That when you are in company and you read. Now with the phone today it's common. 3, 4 people, 5, 6 people, almost everyone is busy with his phone. We are in contact with people thousands of miles, kilometers away. But who are here right with us, we are not in contact with them. Today we are facing it's a very serious challenge that we are facing. And to come out of it, illa ma rahima rabbi, wa Allah make rahim on us and guide us towards righteousness. So all these things Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, that we become conscious that we don't cause any inconvenience. Wal muhajiru man hajara ma nahal Allah an. A muhajir, normally we understand, is the one who leaves his home country. And at the beginning, hijrat was faraz, that all had to come to Medina Sharif. But the real muhajir, again here, and we have to understand the hadith properly, that the real muhajir is that person who gives up what Allah Ta'ala has forbidden from him. Ma nahallahu anhu. Whatever Allah has made haram upon us, we give up and we make hijrat and go move away from those things. So that is an effort that is required from our side, that we make we control our tongue, our hand also, and we give up all types of gunas also. And we stay away from all types of any inconvenience to any person anywhere. We don't cause any inconvenience. Together with that, we should also remember, like for example, now yesterday was common with the Diwali and the firecrackers, and how much of inconvenience that causes people. People it causes, animals it causes, the environment it causes. If sometimes fires are lit also by that, so all those things. And the sad part is, what we have to be worried about, reports that people give, is that Muslim people also, they also having fireworks display, and they also show it. So that is one thing which is now over for this year. The Diwali day is over, but still they carry on usually with the crackers and all that. And we Muslims also get involved in. We must be very, very careful. And according to hadith, ulama have written, to imitate these people and to do what they do is very, very serious. Now in front of us is coming, no more is being celebrated as Guy Fawkes Day. 16th of November, I think it was, or something. Somewhere. But anyway, it was some instance of England history. But anyway, in December then comes the time that with regard to the Christmas celebrations. And many of us, we get involved there also. There are so many, unfortunately, Muslim businesses that sell all these things also. Christmas trees, for example. Or fireworks, etc. We are involved. And as somebody has said, it is such a sad case. Allah Ta'ala help us, that with Eid Namaz, generally, people have very early. Perhaps it is to go to shop on Eid day. To go and open shop again. So we have Eid Namaz early. But for Christmas Day, nobody opens shop. Now there is deregulation. Before it was regulated, you couldn't open your shop on government public holidays. But now you can open if you want to. But nobody will open shop on a Christmas day. So all these things, how much are we related to our deen and connected with our deen? We find, for example, students that in Ramadan, if there is exams, they will even forsake their rosas because of the, on each day, if there's an exam paper on each day, then perhaps they will even forego the Eid namaz. Or you have it very early and you try and make it or something. But for deen's sake, how much do we sacrifice? So with these things here around us now, commonly, we must be very conscious of our iman, our identification, identify ourselves as Muslims. And this is not so easy to do, but it is a thing that is very, very important. So whether we are living in environments where we are with Hindus, in the fiqh kitabs we read, where in the people who are living amongst the Iranians, the fire worshippers, one is the Shias there, and the fire worshippers, and on their days of their celebration, if a person 50 years was making Allah's ibadah, ulama have written, and one day he does one thing what they do on their celebration days, and he takes part in their celebrations, he's washing away everything. So it is a very, very serious matter. Allah Ta'ala, save me, save us all, the whole ummah. And at the same time, we must never ever lose hope of Allah's mercy also. Allah's mercy is very, very, very great. And always have look at the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And whenever like the fear overtakes us, then at that time, the ulama have said, look more towards the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving. And Allah forgives in abundance. And at the same time, always keep on asking forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. That the doors of forgiveness, Allah has kept wide open. Until the time of Sakarat doesn't overtake a person. In other words, clearly he sees the signs of Akhirat. Until that time, Tawbah is accepted. So we should make sincere Tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. Ask Him for forgiveness. Never ever lose hope in the mercy, in the kindness of Allah Ta'ala. Always seek forgiveness and look. And a person who fears the punishment of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala saves that person from his punishment. So we should think about that. And we should think of our lives also in relationship to the reality of matters. Not only for today, not only for this week, this month, this year, or not only till when I get married or that, but it is still maut. And then after maut, it is still qiyamah. And after qiyamah, it is forever and ever. So we have to think of all that. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us and realize if we think of all these things in its proper proportion, it will become easy for us to manage our matters. And we will be able to see, like for example, one report came, which many perhaps know also, that in Gaza, when about 20 years ago, the Jews, they had arrested or whatever, they took one person away. And then he divorced his wife. He said, I'm going away, perhaps I'll never return again. Why must I keep you handicapped in my nikah? Let me set you free. So he set her free, but she didn't remarry. After 20 years, they set him free. And she didn't remarry anyone. So they got married again. And also they said that in their presence, the many of them who didn't know how to read Quran, they became great, ardent lovers of Quran in the prisons. So Allah give us also topic. They never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Turn to Allah Ta'ala always and look after our tongue and not cause inconvenience to anyone and make hijrat of all our gunas. May Allah give us all topic, inshallah.